The podcast that you're about to enjoy is part of the Low Tree Studios podcast network. To enjoy more great podcasts like this one, visit lowtreestudios.com.
All right, well, welcome in, everybody, to the Honey Badgers podcast, where the six of us this time, get together and just have some fun and have some conversation, some open conversation. Hello, guys. How are you?
What up?
Hi.
Hey.
What's up, brother?
What's the weather like there in California right now?
Windy. Stupid.
Yeah, it's crap. It was great yesterday, and now today is shit.
It's so lovely.
So define great. What's great?
Well, great would be...
It was 80 yesterday.
60s? Ooh. It's like 20-degree swing.
It's supposed to rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just had sun and nice weather.
It's pretty schizophrenic time of year there with weather. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it that way though where you are, Francis? Probably not, right?
It was really warm. It was really warm yesterday, and now it's like pretty cold.
So it is the same though. This temperature swings there. You live in Ontario, right?
Yeah, the mountainside doesn't affect it too much. It just delays it getting up here. So yeah. It was like when I got here, it was like sunny, but when I left Ontario, it was pretty gloomy.
Yeah, it was a trip to see you leaving the next day after. Well, by the way, we're going to get into this, Michelle's big birthday bash. To see it snowing when you were leaving home to go home. That was pretty wild.
If I didn't have four-wheel drive, I wouldn't have got home. It was crazy. They stopped everyone. They had to put chains on your four-wheel drive, and it was even sketchy with four-wheel drive. It was crazy over that pass.
Well, let's get into the big birthday bash. It was Michelle's 45th. Fifth, Steve?
Yeah, 45th.
Yep. Okay, and so happy birthday, Michelle, by the way. And so I heard, first of all, you guys had, I saw all the texts, you guys, and I was trying to be a part of it. I was just texting random bullshit. It was fun. I like the little, the gif that I sent where the guy threw up in his hands and then wiped it all over himself. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. It was disgusting.
It's pretty sweet.
Very disgusting.
I really like that.
That was a good time though. Francis came up. Julie was there. Mm-hmm. We had all the Badger honeys. We had the full group, basically, Jason. So we missed you for sure. But it was a blast. We went to a local country bar, mm-hmm. and we turned up pretty quick.
Tried to learn how to two-step or whatever the heck mm-hmm. that was. It was funny.
Yeah.
Is it two-step or line dance?
Can I jump into this and talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to know about who got guys. I heard something about getting kicked out, so I want to hear that part. Yeah.
So it was great. This is what it's like to party with Francis.
Yeah.
In case you don't know.
Yeah.
My guy's just an immediate turn up. So mm-hmm. we met at the hotel he was at, which is a couple blocks from the venue. We got a couple drinks going there. I already started mixing some alcohol. I think it was like some champagne, right?
And tequila shots.
Tequila. There was even some vodka, I think. Yeah. So anyway, we got going pretty quick. Francis, though, what he likes to do is to get everybody around him at the same level, which is a talent. So when we get to the place, the venue, he immediately orders like a dozen shots, right? And brings it out on a tray and just starts passing them out. So you don't get to say yes or no if you want this. Mm-hmm. You just get handed a shot. And that's how it started.
We did what? Four rounds?
Too many.
I think we did. Yeah.
48 shots.
Tequila.
Yeah. Yeah, so that tells you what the 12 people that were drinking with Francis and how they were feeling. Michelle had done a little couple extra here and there. Man, she just went up really quick and crashed just as fast. I think it was 9:15. We were getting booted out.
Yeah, we pre-gamed it too, right?
Yeah.
Before we had those shots.
Yeah, but that was early.
That was a lot.
It was super early. We got kicked out of there.
So if you don't know, in that particular venue, if you happen to throw up in the bathroom, they'll boot you out. They just don't allow that. And although she seemed to be okay, and it probably helped her to throw up, that was the end of it.
And then what happened?
How'd they catch her? Like they have a...
So she said that...
Somebody told on her?
She went in the bathroom and there was already security in there.
Oh.
Just kind of doing a random check. And she went to the stall and just tried to be quiet and wasn't crazy, but they overheard it and she heard them call for backup.
It's actually not that they probably didn't even have to hear anything. If you see somebody's feet facing the opposite direction,
if you see knees on the ground,
yeah.
Something else is going on, right? You don't have to hear anything.
dude, we gave him a lot of business that night, though.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. You would think, too, after you throw up, you would feel better. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you got it out of your system.
I was in a state that didn't really understand what was going on either, because I was kicking everybody out myself almost. Like, all right, let's go, guys. And then she told me, she's like, no, just I had to leave. She's like, you guys could have stayed.
Yeah,
but it was her birthday.
So, right.
Yeah. It was fine. It was a good time.
Yeah. And then, but to your point, we gave them a lot of business. They would have had a lot more business. And we just took it elsewhere.
I was trying to get him to do bottle service. Okay. I told the bartender, I'm like, hey, can I just buy the bottle? He's like, no, we don't do bottle service. Like, I just buy two of these suckers instead of buying them.
Michelle told me the next day that night, the bartender, because he knew her, was like, do you know that guy? And she's like, yeah, he's with me. She's like, okay, he's racking up a tab.
No, I was like, I'm not going to skip out on the bill either. It was like, it was funny.
And then we went to another bar.
Yeah, another local dive bar after that.
Which one? Do I know it?
It's Silver Spur.
Spur.
Ended up there and had some karaoke, and I just about everybody ran over there afterwards. Yeah.
Yep.
And we met up a bunch of people that we knew that were just there on a Saturday.
Yep.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was packed too.
Oh, yeah.
But not Michelle. She was down the street from the first venue in the hotel asleep.
Was she? Oh, that sucks.
Night.
Like 9:30 at night, asleep.
Yep.
All right. So take me through the timeline a little bit. So 9:30, it was goodbye from that club. But when did you guys get started? Is 6, 5? Maybe you already said that. I don't know.
I think we met up. What time did we go to your hotel?
I think it was like 6:30. You guys met up at my hotel.
It was about 6:30.
And then we headed to the country bar around 7, because I think that's when the reservation was for. Mm. And then we were there from 7 till 9, and it was, we got to go.
Two hours.
Yeah, time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't eat.
We did a lot in those 2 hours, though.
Yeah. I don't remember eating. Sorry.
We had, like, finger foods.
Yeah, just snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was two lessons, I don't know what you call them, for line dancing.
Mm-hmm.
We did. I know you did both of them. Didn't you?
No, I did the first one. Yeah. And I was like, once they started doing the spin thing, I was like, I'm done, dude.
Yeah, I remember that. You went, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, I'm crashing into people. People are spinning into me. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm done.
That's pretty funny.
We had fun there.
Good. Yeah, it sounded like you did. I was seeing all the texts and stuff and trying to get you guys to get mimosas the next day, but that didn't work out. So
Julie was.
No,
Julie was crawling out of the bed.
Yeah, she had a. I know I had a tough morning. I had a bad headache. I woke up with.
And Steph and I stayed at the Spur, and so it closed.
Mm, nice. Yeah, I would. I could have kept going, but Julie was donezo.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
Outside, and like we got a taco outside. She went to get a taco outside. The taco guy only takes cash. I didn't have any cash on me, so I ran back inside to get some cash out. And then some random white dude was like hitting up on my girl, and she's pretty wasted. Like, hey, wait, hey, that's my lady. Okay.
Wow.
Okay,
go. Yeah. That's crazy. All right, funny. So we got to recap something that we weren't sure about. Last time we podcasted, it was Francis wasn't present. And then we weren't sure what happened to Adrian. So the conversation at the time was, did Adrian get the text? So we were all talking about, we want, you know, cause Steve's pretty convinced that you did. And I figured you might've laid everything down. You just unplugged for the day. Cause that's the way, I mean, sometimes you just need to do that. But Steve was pretty convinced that you did receive the texts. So we want to know today, did you receive any of our texts that day?
Yeah, but not when you sent them.
Okay.
So I took a nap, and, and then I looked at them, and then it was late. I'm like, I didn't feel like responding back. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll say something tomorrow.
I had something with the baby. I forgot. I don't remember, but I think he was sick or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's more into it. We won't get into it, but yeah, Adrian did tell me. He's like, no, I couldn't get the text, so
yeah,
I get it, man. Sometimes you gotta. I mean, I mean, get bring that bring it in if it's something personal, but
no, I was wrong.
I like to just unplug sometimes, and I don't even, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was also my anniversary.
Okay.
Oh, it was, yeah.
So
well, that's pretty important.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Thanks.
Happy anniversary.
How many years?
17, I think.
Good for you.
When was that? That day? Last
week?
Yeah,
it was that.
Mine is tomorrow.
What are tomorrow?
Yeah, 6 years tomorrow.
Oh, congrats.
Yep.
What are our years married? So you're 17, yeah. six now? Jason?
I will be, what is this? What's it? 20. I'll be 22 years married.
You'll be 22. Congrats. Yep. And then Francis is going on three. Right? Going on three.
Yeah. Like,
you know, second time around.
Yeah.
I will be 23 married years married in October.
Wow.
I'm Chase.
I will be 15 in September.
15.
And what was yours, Adrian? 17, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were together longer than that, but 17 is how many years? We were together for 5 years before that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in the same category. We were together 5 years before as well.
Same over here.
Yeah. Steve, what about you and Michelle? You're only like a year, right?
Yeah, we got probably like 2 years. We were engaged for a full year, and then we got engaged pretty quickly. So yeah, about 2 years, not total.
Mine was quick. Mine was like a year and a half. Then we got engaged.
Yeah, I would have done it sooner, but I wasn't. I didn't feel like I was making enough money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I was like, man, how am I going to start a family if I'm not making a certain amount of money? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just I put it off until I was like, fuck it.
Right.
Jump in. I love this lady. So I know this is kind of hard to even ask, right? Because it's there's probably a lot of highlights, but what would you say is one of the high points of your relationship with your spouse?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
That's tough.
I think for me is it's not a moment. I think it's a thing, right? And it's like having a confidant. Right.
Oh yeah. There you go.
You know what I mean? Like they're your better half. So like I might hold in a lot of stuff, but with one, I know there's at least one person that I can just say everything and not feel like I'm going to be judged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's therapeutic. I mean, it's necessary. You have to have that. You know what I mean?
That must be nice. I get judged. Yeah. I'd
That's fucking insane. I hear you're fucking stupid. Yeah, you're
such an idiot.
I think we all get judged a little bit. I get judged a little bit too. It's not even that it's judgment, it's honesty. It's honesty you may not want to hear, right? You're like,
you need that.
Yeah, you do.
Definitely.
You do need
that. I hear, you're pretty. That's what Stephanie says to me.
You're pretty?
She goes, you're so pretty when I do something that she thinks I'm dumb.
Does she smack you in the ass when she says it too?
No, she just touches my face.
Oh. Well, it's true. You are pretty. Remember, the Honey Badger's calendar is going to have your head, just the top from here up, just your hair.
There it is. He said it. You've said it.
I did.
It's now out in the real world.
The calendar.
So, can we get into it?
Don't even know that we talked about it.
We'll get into it in a minute, but let's go, Francis. What's in your 3 years?
My 3 years, I don't know. It's been a whirlwind, honestly. Like our relationship's been, we packed a lot in like the 5 years that we've known each other, right? But I think having a new baby again bonded us a lot, because you got to understand, like I have a 22-year-old, right? So I was young. I know David too, right? I was young when I had Gavin, and it was hard because you didn't make enough money, or I was growing up myself. And I'm like, we grew up together basically, right? With Landon, a little bit of that as well, but it was just tough. It was like hard getting ends to meet, you know? But this time around, it's like I don't have to focus so much on like how much like I financially I can support the baby, but we can like really hone in on like who he is, you know, instead of like just, hey, make sure this thing stays alive. he's so cool. And we've done a great job, and she's a great mom. So we're just, that bonded us a lot.
Do you see a difference in him as a kid compared to Landon and Gavin?
I think Nico is very free spirited. Like he has no, fear. Like he's never felt fear. He's never felt like being like, or like, how can I say, like even punished, if you will, like, hey, don't do that. That's about as far as it gets, right? The other kids is like, I didn't know how to raise a kid. So yeah. I'm like, hey, don't do that. And like, you know, you're trying to like force them to like stop. But Nico, it's like, okay, he understands like just saying it is enough for him. He's cool. He'll follow along. He's, but he has no fear. No fear.
The cutest fucking kid.
He's cute.
Loves belly buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to, me and Francis went to Ojai. Julie was there. Nico was there. And I crashed at his Airbnb the night before the tournament. And yeah, this little guy started getting tired, kind of laying next to me. And next thing I know, he's like kind of like poking at me a little bit. And I was like, all right, cool. And he started lifting my shirt up and I put it down. All right, it's cool. He did it again, and then he just started getting that finger right in the belly button there. And I was like, what's this guy doing?
So that's his.
He wanted to get that funk smell after.
No, that's his like comfort. Like if he likes you and he like feels comfortable around you and he wants to fall asleep, he'll like either suck his thumb or he'll suck his thumb and then he'll like try to pick at your belly button. And he'll fall asleep just getting in there, you know? And he was comfortable with Steve and he's like, all right, I'm gonna chill with this guy.
I took it as a compliment. Yeah, it made me feel good.
Yeah. He's very loving. He's super loving.
Like just like you, bro. Yeah. He is.
Future belly button fetish going on there. What about you, Steve? Highlights, marriage.
I'll be quick. I think for Michelle and I, we make the difficult easy with each other.
That's really great.
Tough situations. Just the way we communicate, that the stuff that might really stress other people out, we seem to just kind of make easy, almost like a day-to-day kind of thing. I think that's really helped us out. I mean, the kids are obvious. I think every parent can point to that. So yeah, the kids, and that's a big deal. It's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But when it's just us, like the stuff that gets really tough, we almost treat it like a normal situation, the way we handle things. And that has made our relationship over the last 23 years seem less difficult.
That's great, man. Yeah, I noticed that about you, but you do that too. You do that anyway. You've always been that kind of guy that just makes the kind of the difficult seem easy. You know, when someone like me who, you know, and we all know, you guys know that all this about me a lot. I know everybody's different, of course, right? I'm not a cubicle guy. I don't feel like I'm meant to be, you know, in a corporate world. And I always kind of, you know, was trying to do stuff outside of there. And I always looked at Steve and I'm like, what is this guy? This is it. He's cool with this, is what he wants to do. We were so opposite in that regard. And I admired that about you, because there's many times where I just thought I was crazy. I'm like, why am I not okay with this? This is perfectly good. And I really appreciated that about you. What about you, Chase? Highlight marriage. Nice.
Kind of tough.
Nice.
It's kind of tough. But I think we make a good team, you know, with some of the things that we deal with and certain roles that we play in the house. You know, there's no high expectations either way, you know, so that comes very easy. And I think that's the part that we get along well with.
So you know what I love about Monica, if I could interject, is because I know these two really well. Mm-hmm. What I love about Monica is when she takes on some of Chase's personality with the sarcasm and she gives it right back to him. And if I'm over there, she's just a smart ass back to him the way Chase is. That just makes me laugh. I'm like, that's good. Get a taste of your own medicine there. Yeah.
Hey, it's fine.
Would you say that you guys are friends? Like,
oh yeah.
Pretty tight like that. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. That's important.
What about you, David? What you got, man?
I like that we can just do nothing.
Yeah,
that's like one of the best things, is you can sit there and do nothing with the other person.
That's good. That's a great answer. Yeah, that is true.
We're so opposite, but then we can enjoy the same exact thing.
Yeah, you know when you're really comfortable with somebody, when you can sit. Like, I did this the other day. We came to a light, and oh, by the way, the lights in Florida, when you come to an intersection, you're sitting at that light forever, dude. They're crazy. But the positive is you'll make it through that light. It's not like you're sitting there and you won't make it through. You sit there and like, oh my God, it's like 5 minutes, it feels like. So we were sitting there, and I realized we were sitting there the entire time without saying a word, without saying one word. And that's when you know you're really comfortable with somebody, when you don't have to say stuff all the time. You can sit, and you ever when you don't know somebody, right? Like say you're brand new in a job or something, or someone's new, and you go on your first trip in a golf cart or something to another site or something like that, and you feel like you have to say something. And you're like,
you gotta fill that space.
Yeah, right? You're just not comfortable with them. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a good answer. For me, I will say the highlight is that, you know, it's gotten easier. Like in the beginning, it wasn't as easy, right? In relationships, they're hard. You start to go through these really, really tough periods, almost points where you almost aren't together anymore. You go through really, really tough periods. And then I've just found that you get over that. Once you get over that peak, it starts to coast a little bit, and it just seems like it's a lot easier to get into a rhythm. But man, getting past some of those areas of your relationship can be really, really challenging. I don't know if you guys, you know, the longtime married folks, how difficult that stuff can be. But once you get past it, it's pretty remarkable how easy it can get. So that's one of my highlights.
Yeah.
Well, Chase had a really good idea to talk about one of our scariest moments, right? Like, so near death is what you mentioned, Chase. Can you go into the question on that one?
It doesn't necessarily have to be near death, but just any sort of moment in your life where, you know, you got scared shitless for some reason, whether it's a death or thought something bad was going to happen, car accident, anything.
Okay. How's that? How's that drink? What are you guys drinking there?
That's some.
I like the Eagle Rare better than the Russell's personally. What do you guys think so far?
Eagle Rare and I think Eagle Rare 10-year, and this one is Russell's single barrel. Yeah.
Mm. Never heard of Russell's.
This one is.
It's just stronger. The Russell's.
It's 55% alcohol, also 110 proof.
Damn.
It is.
Yeah.
Probably a little less flavor, more alcohol flavor, right?
I don't know. Like, okay, so that's weird because I thought that for sure, but then like my buddy who's like a big whiskey guy, he says like the more proof, the more flavor you get out of it.
Interesting.
No, I don't know. I don't know it well enough, but
that might be true. I just think the Eagle Rare is just a little.
It means it went in the barrel pretty freaking hot.
Yeah.
It's made by. What did I just look at? Darn it! I lost it. Wild Turkey makes Russell's.
Mm. Okay.
Like Eagle Rare is made by Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
I could start with Chase's question.
Absolutely, man. Get it.
So, he mentioned this in the text and I struggled because I was like, man, I don't have anything like that. It seems, I couldn't think of anything. Struggled. Then all of a sudden something came to me and, my daughter was there. My whole family was there, but I talked to her about it. I was like, you remember? I asked her, what would you say was the scariest moment in your life without like leading her to the story? And then when she dropped the same thing I was thinking, I was like, yeah, right. So I'll be quick. This will only take a couple minutes. I was actually at the Ontario Mills Mall and we had just got there. We were walking around. We were going to go to some family's house in Fontana. And we stopped there first. I kind of forget why, either light shopping or just picking up a gift. I don't remember, but we had just got in, we walked around and we were like, okay, we got to, you know, hit the restroom, take a break real quick. So we go down kind of one of those hallways, if you're familiar with that mall at all, they got the long hallways there. Well, while we were down there, and it's a little vague, the details, but I'll just tell you kind of from my perspective what happened. Me and Jason, my son, were in the restroom. We come out, we're waiting in the hallway for Michelle and Layla. And at that point, we start seeing people running.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Running across the, like, I mean, you know a difference between a, mm-hmm. like a,
somebody in a hurry.
So, exactly. Thank you. Somebody in a hurry versus like a
fleeing.
Yeah. Those are the two good words for it. And this is exactly what was going on, right? It was chaos. And anyway, we heard somebody yell active shooter or something, like there was shooting going on, right? And I hadn't heard anything, but the immediate adrenaline rush that hit was quite intense. And all I remember thinking at the moment was you just go in this real quiet, what is it called, fight or flight?
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I think I've ever felt that in my life. And I went in the women's bathroom. I grabbed the girls. We got to go. And I just got them and I was calm, but I was ready to go. Like I was ready to, whatever happened, I felt like the body buzz of like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. The switch was flipped, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, 100%. The senses kick in different. It was the weirdest experience I've ever felt in my life. Luckily where we were down that hallway is an emergency exit into like this very middle of the mall, which is outside that you can, flee out of. And everybody was, I mean, there were shoes scattered, gifts or you know, bags left. Nobody cared, right? It's just like, let's go survive. And that's kind of what it was. I mean, we got out to the parking lot, found out that there was a gun, right? There was no shot. It was like a false alarm, you should say, but not knowing that, it was intense.
I heard it was like a looter, right? Someone was like looting a business.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I remember because I mean, I saw it on the news. It was a looter who was trying to loot like one of the stores there, and then they dropped the gun.
Yeah.
And then all panic, all hell broke loose, and everyone was just jumping over everything.
And where that happened was literally right outside the hall from where our bathroom was. So it was very close by to where we were at proximity wise. Anyway, it was quite intense. That's my story.
Well, I thought you said it was at the Ontario Mills Mall.
It was.
But you keep saying that you're camping. Like you're in a tent. So I don't know. I thought you were you camping?
Because it's intense.
That's my joke that no one laughed at.
I was like waiting for somebody else to do it. I'm like the whole time like
Fritz is shaking his head.
Don't say it.
I love that little Fritz's head shake. I love it.
David and Jason are the captain of dad jokes. Great.
Yeah, David's like, yep, there it is.
Who's next? Somebody take this over.
I can go.
Fritz's, go.
So it was 2019, December. Mm. 2019, I decided that I wanted to go to Philippines. I had done a Philippines trip, a solo Philippines trip once before, and I wanted to do it again to go do the New Year, because I've heard really great stories about like the New Year's Eve bash that they have in Manila and that area. So booked a flight, booked a hotel room right in the middle of the city. And that night, I was still living in Palmdale. That night was crazy. It was snowing that night, so I didn't want to go to the AV flyaway, the bus terminal, or like that van terminal to go to LAX with my car and leave it there for like 2 weeks. So I had an Uber. So the Uber picks me up. The only Uber anywhere in Palmdale to pick me up, take me to AV flyaway. I finally get over to LAX. It takes forever. I get to LAX, go on the flight, go to Manila, right? It's 18-hour flight. Oof. I get to Manila. Yeah, it was crazy. I'm
18 hours.
It was like 16 to 18 hours. So I'm stupid, like jet lag, and I can't sleep. So I hit up my friend that I knew lived in the area. So my friend picks, like we meet up. He owns a bar in Manila, like a really small, like little bar with like a, you know, it's like a DJ, and it's basically just like a DJ, a bar and some seats. It's small. So we go, having a good time. Partied like crazy all night, right? Because I mean, I couldn't sleep anyway. Next day I go play golf. And then I come home from playing golf and I'm just dead tired. I figured jet lag hit me, whatever. So I fall asleep and then I wake up and I'm like, nah, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Like I have a massive headache. I have a massive fever. I'm like, I'm just sick. So I'm like, okay, cool. I've been sick before, but now I'm in a foreign country, third world country at that. So I'm scared, right? I'm like, okay, it's fine. Just sick. I'm just going to get over it. Go to over the counter, get some medicine. No problem. Day goes by, still bad. Second day goes by, it gets worse. And I'm like, oh shit, I need to go to the emergency room. So I go to emergency room at like 2 a.m. in the Philippines, third world country. I've never been to a hospital in the third world country. Like, I don't know, like, do my insurance work? Nothing. So everything, your insurance does not work, mm-hmm. by the way. It might, mm-hmm. but I didn't go through that, right? So everything was cash. So anything I had to do was like, I had to like see a doctor, I had cash, prepay cash. Doctor sees me, he's like, oh, I think you just have a head cold, prescribes me some antibiotics, whatever. 2 days go by, I'm still dying. Like, I'm dying now. I'm scared. I like haven't had much food for like 3 or 4 days. I was walking to the local 7-Eleven, which was like maybe 30 feet away or maybe 100 feet away from my hotel. I would get a bottle of water, a bottle of Gatorade, and a banana. I'd try to eat that banana. I'd drink the water, drink the Gatorade through the day. And that was like 24-hour cycle of that. Went back to the hospital, emergency room. And then they did a test. At that point, they did a sputum test where like you have to spit, like you have to breathe this salt water and spit. Mm. And then at that point, they did an X-ray as well. Sorry. And they found like a huge lump of like fluid like in my lung. And I had pneumonia. So they take me some medicine. I'm feeling like shit. Like I'm in a hotel room by myself, no one there, no one really to call.
Wow.
Very few friends in the Philippines. And I'm like, they say I have pneumonia, but I don't know. And then like, okay, so my 2 weeks in Philippines, I basically spent in that hotel room, like half dying.
Wow.
And then it came time to get on the flight back to the Philippines, from the Philippines. And Julie at the same time was telling me, man, there's this COVID thing happening all over Southeast Asia, you know, all over Asia. And it sounds like what you have. And I'm like, I don't know. Like I just got here to
patient zero.
I literally could have been patient zero because they hadn't locked down the Philippines yet. They hadn't closed the borders yet, and they did. They stopped like travel like a few weeks later, maybe a month later. But I'm taking as many like Advils or Tylenol so I wouldn't have a fever, so I can go through the detectors at the airport. So thank God I got through the detectors and I flew back home, and I was still sick for 2 weeks after that.
You had to smuggle yourself across.
Basically I had to smuggle myself back into the United States. It was crazy.
So that Francis,
that was near death.
Yeah.
Was in December.
This was in, yeah, it was
2019,
December 28th. Yeah, yeah. 28th, 29th of 2019, right when it popped off, right when it was just like, hey, what is this? And then I got home, I think in January, like the, I don't know, 5th, 6th, something like that. I missed all, I didn't do shit. I didn't do anything in the Philippines. I basically spent so much money on hospital bills and the airfare and a hotel room just to be sick in a foreign country.
Wow. Man, that sucks, dude.
Yeah, and it was bad. It was to the point to where like I didn't know if I'd wake up in the morning. Like, you know, you get like, you're so sick, you're like, I hope I don't like choke on my I hope I can breathe at night.
Yeah. Wow.
It was
crazy. That's sketchy.
So you're the reason we have COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for bringing that back to us here.
You're welcome.
Francis brought it home.
Start of it all. And then you've had COVID how many times since then?
I've had it twice since then. Yeah. So I never I never took that test to see if I had the antibodies or whatever. So I never knew if that was really COVID.
I see.
Or if I really just did get sick out in the Philippines. I don't know. But it was right around that time. And like they were in my my friends who are like doctors and like pharmacists and stuff, they've said that like it might have been, I might have gotten sick on the flight going to Philippines because there's no way it would have been that quick
because it takes time.
It takes time.
Incubates and then
I might have caught something on the flight going to Philippines and it was incubating, and then I finally got sick like 2 days later.
But you still spread it though because you were sick. And you don't know you're sick and you're coughing and sneezing.
Oh, you know,
and you're like, oh, I'm cool. You do your daily job.
No, I immediately got a mask. You know, this is before the masks were like everywhere. I remember going to a market in the Philippines and looking for like face masks. Because I'm like, I'm coughing and
It doesn't make it right, Francis.
It doesn't.
You murdered.
He got one of those
thousands of old people.
Yeah. Not cool, dude.
He got one of those Mexican wrestler masks.
Yeah.
That luchador mask.
Yeah.
That's all you could find there.
That was like as close to like dying as I think that has ever happened. There was a couple nights there I was like, dude, this is rough. I hope I wake up.
Yeah.
I hope I wake up in the morning.
Well, I'll share my story.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So this was, I've got a couple that scared the shit out of me. I was going to start with one, but I think this one's a little bit better because it was legit pretty scary. January 24th, 1994. I was,
what? 19?
You know, it's scary if he tells you the date.
1994. I was working. I lived up in the Antelope Valley. So for those who are listening to us for the first time, Antelope Valley is where these fine, beautiful folks live. There aren't any antelopes there. So I don't know why they call it that, but
there used to be.
Well, Francis doesn't. There used to be. Francis doesn't live there anymore. He lives in Ontario, but Steve, Chase, David, Adrian live in Palmdale, Lancaster. So I lived up there and drove to, I worked at the time I worked at UPS. So that morning, it was starting really early in the morning. I think we started at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm about to climb up into onto the dock and start to unload. I was a truck unloader at the time for UPS. I was about to climb onto the dock, and all of a sudden I got thrown off that dock and the earth started shaking and it was crazy and everything was going nuts and the lights went out. And I did the, you know, I did the thing you learn when you live in California to get down and kind of, you know, just, you know, tuck, right? So I was underneath this, this really strong decking that you stand on when you get into the trucks. So I just kind of stayed there and kind of hugged the ladder a little bit, and people are screaming, the lights go out. And then, it took probably, I think it was about 11 to 15 seconds of this just major shaking. And then, after it stopped, so I could hear somebody screaming, is anybody in there? Is anybody in there? So I ran out. I was the only idiot, by the way, still in the building. Everybody else started running out of the building.
Working and shit. Get his pallet jacket
boxes.
I was pretty far away though from the exit, so I really had no choice. I was actually starting to climb up, and it knocked me off the ladder. It was that violent of a shake.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting is afterwards, it's that fight or flight thing. Yep. Who was mentioning that? Was you that was mentioning that, Adrian? Or Steve was mentioning that. Yeah, Steve was mentioning that, where you just kind of like, it's a weird place where you all the stuff you normally think about, all the things you worry about, is all gone. You're literally at your absolute core, right? And what's interesting about it is you see who people really are at their core when stuff like that happens. I was really calm, like really, really calm. And there was one guy that was panicking, freaking out, you know, just like spinning around. Yes. And everybody's a little bit different. But what's really interesting about that earthquake, by the way, I didn't reveal, it is the earthquake of 1994 in Northridge earthquake.
Northridge.
And I worked in Sylmar, which is very, very close to the epicenter. And there was this big, was
it? It was an 8.0, wasn't it?
No, it was a
7.8 or something.
6.8, I think, 6.9, something like that. It was almost 7. It was pretty violent.
There you go. Yeah.
It was pretty violent. It was pretty scary. Yep. So I'm sitting there, and then what was really interesting was we're all sitting there outside of the terminal, or the hub they called it at UPS, and all of a sudden this big plume of dust just comes over the top of us. There's a big mountain behind us. And it was all over every car. There was alarms going off on the cars. It was just absolute chaos. So they had to get a count of everybody before we could leave, right? And we're all sitting there. And meanwhile, I'm building up a mean piss. And if you guys know me. When I got a piss, I got a piss, dude. And I piss frequently. I piss frequently, right? So I got to go. But so then this guy's like, well, and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom, and I want to piss right here. But this guy's, no. You can come to my house, make sure everything's cool. He lived in like Santa Clarita, something like that. And we're driving. What was really wild is driving home, it looked like a war zone, dude. It was the wildest thing to see. You see fires everywhere. Right. I don't know if you remember at the time.
Anyway, collapsed, right?
What's that?
Yeah. That overpass
on the 14 to the 5 collapsed.
It did, man. It did. And that they a CHP officer just drove right on a motorcycle, drove right off of it. But we kind of took the little road that goes along the foothill on the way back. So we didn't see any of that. But there was also, if, I don't know if you remember, there was a like a mobile home park that started on fire.
Right there on the 210, right?
The 210 is what I was on. I went, drove right past it. It just, dude, it looked like there was the power was out everywhere. So all you saw was fires everywhere. Just fires everywhere. It was so crazy, so scary.
But Jason, this was early in the morning, if I remember correct. Early
4:31 a.m.
Okay, yeah. So did you leave when it was still dark, or was it light already?
It was still dark. It was about, I don't know, maybe 5:30 in the morning. Maybe it took about an hour. Meanwhile, I have a raging piss, right? Driving on the 210, then we get on the 14, and I'm like,
this is your near-death experience, a raging piss.
I had a raging piss. And the guy wants me to go to his house. I'm like, bro, I'm going to pull over on the, what the hell does it matter if I pull over and pull out my junk and take a piss on the 14? Nobody's on the freeway, dude. Anyway, so I pulled over, I took a piss, and then I drove home. When I'm driving home, it was really crazy to see the traffic, dude, just traffic from where that freeway fell almost all the way to Acton. So you can imagine how many miles that is.
Yeah. heading south, right?
Yeah, like 30 yeah. miles of
heading
traffic.
Heading south. That's about 30 miles of traffic. People did not know what happened. When I got home, my sister was still asleep. Goodness. The lights were on in the Antelope Valley. There was a little tiny earthquake there, right?
It wasn't tiny. It was good. I remember waking up for that one.
Me too.
You wake up and then you just go right back to sleep. I'm like, Brandy, my sister, Brandy, I'm like, Brandy, we just had a major earthquake. It's all hell broke loose down there. It was kind of interesting to come back home and have it so calm and chill.
Normal.
But that was pretty scary experience for me. That's probably the closest I've been to any kind of near-death experience. So.
I lived in Glendale at the time, and Glendale and Northridge is right there.
Yeah, very close.
I remember I was sleeping, and I had a big old, like, a huge, like, poster, like a framed poster above my head. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how the hell that thing didn't fall on my face. I was like, asleep right underneath it.
You know, I have to tell you, living out here, I know we just had an earthquake recently. Pretty close to here. It was a small earthquake, but it is a relief. I know hurricanes come through here and stuff, but it is a relief not to have to think about earthquakes. Like you don't know when they're going to hit. You have no clue. And they always happen at these weird times of day. Like it is such a relief to go, oh, I don't have to worry about that.
Those that have never experienced it, it's hard to describe, isn't it? It's a very weird feeling when that earth starts shaking below you.
You got no control over it, right?
No,
it's just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You realize how small you are when those things happen.
Yeah. Insignificant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And it's instant devastation, like it can be, right? Especially the really big earthquakes. You know, here we have hurricanes, but you have time. I mean, you really legit have some time to go, do I need to evacuate or not? You know, you just have time, and it's chaos and it sucks. They do suck, but it's, and they're longer, by the way, than an earthquake, but it's just a little bit different. I don't have to think about, oh, shit falling on my head, like a poster falling on my head in the middle of the night. So anyway, that's my story. So
wait, you guys don't have earthquakes all the time over there?
Nope.
So then why is it all that fracking? All right, who's next? Who's going to go?
What?
I love it.
Like it would,
All right.
So I'll tell my story. I got two, though, because they're just
fracking hell.
Adrian Luna, everybody.
You're right. I have no idea what I'm talking about. All right. So two stories. They'll be quick. And the reason why is because one of them is very similar to your story that you told, I think it was last week or last episode. There's a drowning story.
Oh,
yeah. So to set the stage, it was a summer, you know, summer day. And I have two uncles that live right next door to each other. Imagine that, right? It was the best possible outcomes. All the cousins come over. They both have swimming pools. So I'm in one of my uncles. We're all in one of my uncles swimming, at his house at the swimming pool. And I just got my license. And I don't know if you guys had this, but in San Fernando, you go and you go to the local swimming pool, and you're not allowed to swim in the deep end unless you go and take this test.
Yeah. The test.
Right.
You got to test.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to swim back and forth a couple times. Right. So I just got my license. So I'm like, cool, man, I'm good. I was always scared of the deep end. And then I got this license and, you know, magically I could do this. So anyways, I just get it. I'm swimming my Uncle Henry's swimming pool. And you know how tired you get, swimming all day, bro. The sun's coming down, right? We're swimming from sun up to sundown pretty much. And and my cousin Matt, he gets tired, and he just comes whispering, very much like how Chase was doing earlier today. He's like, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And he's like whispering in my ear, and then I realized, oh, he's on me. Like a backpack. He's got his feet wrapped around me, dude.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And he's got his arms around me. And then, so I'm like, I couldn't take the weight. So I start going underwater.
Oh, wow.
And then I end up just falling to where his feet are on my shoulders. He's still, now he's trying to sit on me, right? he's not trying to swim. He's trying to sit on me. So I'm sitting there, and I swear to God, I'm thinking I'm going to die. I'm going to fucking die. I feel, you start to, by the way, it would probably be a chill death.
Right.
You pass out because you're not getting any oxygen. And that's what I was starting to have. I was starting to faint, and I wasn't drinking water yet. And I was like, no, I'm just not going to take a breath. I'm just going to peace, you know? Oof. And I'm starting to slide down and I get so fucking mad that this dude is sitting on me. I'm like, I'm going to go out like this, dude.
He's basically using you where he lives.
Yeah. I was just, so I pinched the shit out of his leg and I could hear him from up above go, yeah! Right? So all of a sudden he kicks and he gets off me and then the spark comes back. Like, no, I got it now, dude. And I come up and all that other shit. I get out of the pool. I'm crying, bro, because I knew I was that close. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. So,
yeah.
Beat the shit out of him.
Oh yeah. So then I did. I punched him anyway. So I'm crying. And then he comes up and he says something, but it's some kind of backhanded apology. And I did. I punched him. But this motherfucker, I love Matt. He was the type of guy that, like, you punched him. When I punched him, he made it seem like it was all an act, like it was rehearsed or something. So he dives in the pool, like, you know what I'm saying? I used to, like, try to throw him, and I'd throw him, and then he would just turn it into a somersault, like, boop-da-doo, like that. You can't faze me. Doo-da-doo. Anyways, but yeah, that did happen. So that's the first story. And what was it? Oh yeah, the second story. This is more a creepier one. And Jason, by the way, your lighting is very apropos.
It's creepy, apropos. Right? It's dark here.
It looks like you're having a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dark. I need a little candlelight or something.
Yeah. All right. So This other story. I was a teenager, just really stupid, and some of my friends got the bright idea to pass each other out. To choke each other out. And okay, cool. So we did that. And then it was my turn and they did it. And the way we did it is you go, and instead of like getting someone a choke hold, and I don't know which is better, but we wouldn't do that. We would push you and your throat up against the wall and just hold it until you fucking pass out. And then when you pass out, we kind of let go and then we just, you slide down, right? Because you're knocked out. So we did that. I passed out. And by the way, whoever's listening, that is the stupidest fucking thing you could ever do. Just so you know, that is so fucking stupid. Like, yeah.
Disclaimer.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm totally not proud. This is one of those things I wish I didn't do in my life. So I pass out, and then I'll tell you what I remember, and then they have a different story, right? So what I remember is that I fade to black. I don't see nothing, but I hear laughter, right? And then in the background, I start to see like a silhouette, right? So like almost like the sun's rising, and then you see things there and they got red eyes and they're just laughing like jackals. That's the best way I could describe it. Laughing. And I'm like, fuck, I'm scared. I'm so fucking scared. Cause I'm like, where am I at? What did I do? Right. And then I snap out of it and I wake up and I was like, what the fuck? And so then I go and they're all laughing, right? So I'm like, oh, must have been these guys. I was having a bad trip. And then they're like, oh, so I asked them, what was happening? Like, well, you passed out. And they kind of moved my body to like off the wall because we thought, I guess that was better just to be lying flat, you know? And I guess I picked up my head and I slammed it on the ground two times. Two times, and I was like, yeah, I feel the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, it does hurt. Anyways, but they said I did that just involuntary, like put my head down and I just slammed it twice. And then I was out.
Stupid kids, dude.
They should have picked your legs up like that. That's what they do in the UFC when somebody gets choked out. They pick their legs up.
Yep. Get the blood to go back to their brain.
Well, at least we know why Adrian's a little, lost sometimes.
Huh?
I remember that stupid game too when I was a kid, choking people out like that. That was such a dumb game. I'm like, why do people do that?
So dumb. I mean, it's equivalent to kids eating Tide Pods and shit, you know? It's dumb. Just dumb.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my story.
That's a good story. Please. Chase, you're the guy that asked the question. What's your story, dude?
All right. I got a couple, but first I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Jessica. She's a avid listener with her two podcasts, but told her I'd give her a shout out. So what's up, Jessica?
Hi, Jessica.
She's an avid listener. She's an avid listener of our two podcasts, or she does podcasts?
No, she's avid listener.
Yeah, she's a fan. She's our first fan.
She's our fan.
I think I'm her favorite, actually.
Well, you
because she knows Chase, but I'm her favorite. So
what's up, Steve? You do have the most eloquent voice. You're very well spoken. It's the master's degree, I think, is what it is.
It is.
No,
it's his brain.
So honestly, I've gotten I won't say names, but yeah. I've had a few people confirm that the best podcasting voice out of the group
is you,
is Jason and David.
Oh,
I agree.
No, it's Jason and David. Those two. Yeah,
true. I get excited when I hear them talk. I'm not.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, sorry, Chase. Back to you and your story. I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. But. Well, couple stories. One's more like a "oh shit, what did I do?" Another one was "shit, I'm gonna die." So the first one, I was 18, at my sister's house for the 4th of July, and we're lighting off fireworks. It's kind of windy, like always in Antelope Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my niece's dad were trying to light a firework, and it was one of those little box fountains, and I have my hands over it to keep the wind from blowing out the lighter, and my niece's dad was trying to light it, and we're sitting there for like 30 seconds trying to get the wick. Next thing you know, it just goes off. Just blows up in my hands.
Oh no.
And automatically I don't feel my thumb.
Oh,
it's like, oh shit. And like the first thing you do is, you know, you like double over, you know, grab both my hands, and I look down slowly. I was like, is my fucking thumb there?
Oh God.
I look down and my thumb's still there, but my hands are burned like crazy. God. It was the worst fucking pain I've ever had. I thought about, like, I turned around and like I looked towards the sidewalk, and I saw the curb, and there was some water there, and I wanted to put my hands in there because it hurt so bad and it was burning. And I just stood there and I ran inside real quick, put my hands underneath the water, and I ended up having like severe burns on my hands. Couldn't use my hands for a couple weeks, bandaged up, big old blisters. I was like one of the worst things I've ever had, you know, but my thumb was still there. That's a good thing. But
imagine if you lost a digit.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. You hear about those stories all the time. Every 4th of July, you hear that stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Digit gone.
So that was that story. And then the one where I thought I was going to die, my sister had a Ford F-250 four-door truck, and we take it out to Laughlin. She has a couple Wave Runners and went out there, you know, for the weekend. On the way home, if any of you guys know the 40, coming on the 40, it's a raised freeway with two steep embankments on the side. And, you know, I'm sitting in the back passenger side seat, and I'm always watching people and how they drive. So I'm watching my sister as she's driving, and we're behind a big rig, and like I see her like look down at the dash like something was wrong, and you know, she just like, you know, continue to drive. And since she was coming up on this big rig, she wanted to pass him. So she gets in the left lane and passes this guy, just keeps going, gets past him, goes back to the right lane. And then I felt the truck like kind of swerve to the right. And you see her like get this look on her face. And then she grabs the wheel and she like straightens it out. And then all of a sudden, like I'm looking at her dash, and her dash just turns, like all the lights came on her dash.
Oh.
And I see her trying to turn the steering wheel to the left, and we're drifting right. And I was like, oh shit. And the truck would not turn, and the truck goes flying off the side of the freeway down the embankment. And I didn't say this part, but I didn't have my seatbelt on. Okay. I didn't have my seatbelt on because it would lock. And so I could not adjust the seatbelt. So I took it off. And when we flew off the side of the freeway, the truck totally went like, horizontal, and I'm looking out my door, out the window, to the ground.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh shit. Like, I just thought of everything, just my whole life flashing before my eyes. And but the crazy thing is the Wave Runners kept us from flipping over. And we went down that steep ass embankment. It's like a 20-25 foot embankment. And we went flying down it, went into this big old desert bush. I know you guys seen those I forget what trees that they are, but
Joshua trees.
Yeah, Joshua tree. Yeah. Just went right in the middle of that. And she had no brakes, no steering, no nothing. But I guess what happened was the steering linkage broke. Wow. She had a race truck and it broke and she just lost all control of it and you know, ended up in the middle of a tree. And
whoa,
that's a close call.
That's a close call.
But we were all fine. Nothing major happened, you know, and I'm here to tell about it.
That's scary. A little malfunction on Francis's end over there. He pulled the shit off the table, I think.
Yeah, we have a technical malfunction.
That's okay. While you're fixing that, this was David's request. He wanted me to tell a story. So I will tell it. Just about a little bit of a scary story. So this is when I was really, really young. I think I was maybe 16, 17. And I owned a Volkswagen Bug. And I don't know if you remember, you know, you probably don't if you didn't own one. They used to be 6 volt. So they weren't 12 volt. So the lights were much, much dimmer. They didn't really hold a charge. You really couldn't see at night. So when you were driving, you would want to put your high beams on so that your lights were basically as bright as the rest of the world's lights, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm driving home.
I had one of those. I remember this.
Did you? Okay, good. So mm-hmm. It was very near Halloween. I was coming back from a friend's house hanging out. It wasn't real, real late at night, but it was dark. And, you know, anywhere out there is dark. And especially at this time, in my generation, it was there wasn't as much development in the Antelope Valley as there is now. But we were really far out there. I was driving out to Little Rock, which is where I lived, from Palmdale on Avenue T. So you guys know where that is?
Yeah, nowhere.
It's out there. Exactly. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's dark. And so I'm cruising on the road and I see way up, like maybe a mile ahead of me, 2 red lights, car in front of me, swerve and go around something. So I'm like, ooh, maybe I should put my high beams on because maybe there's something in the road, right? That was my first thought. So I flip my high beams on. And I'm cruising along and I'm getting closer and closer to where this thing was. And I start to see, and I'm not going real fast because if anybody knows anything about Volkswagen, this was a 1300, right? It's so slow. This thing was I could never go down to from the Antelope Valley down to, you know, San Fernando Valley because I'd never be able to get back up the 14.
What's the top speed?
Oh, dude. I mean, it would get there, but it would take a while to get there. So example, like if I'm coming back from, let's say I decide I want to go to Santa Clarita, right? And I'm coming back up the 14 and all those steep grades, this thing would only go 50 or 55. Not even that. Okay. An example, my motorcycle that I have is a 1200 cc. So this thing, this Volkswagen Bug was a 1300 cc with a lot more weight.
Oh, yeah, it was a Bug and then like lawnmower beats that, like that 1700.
So I wasn't going very fast is my point. And all of a sudden I start to see this image in the road, like something in the road. I'm like, what is this? And I start to see, legs, right? Cause my high beams suck. I see legs. And then I start to see the upper torso. I don't remember what this individual was wearing, but then all of a sudden I see it gets to the face and it's a clown standing in the middle.
What an idiot.
Of the road. Someone dressed as a clown standing in the middle of the road, holding a beer can in their hand, standing in the middle of the road. I froze, bro. The breath came out of me. I was like, and I just froze. And I don't know how it happened, but something steered me around this person and they stayed in the road, dude. Stayed in the road.
Idiots.
Wow. And that was for 2 cars. So, I mean, I don't know. That was the one car and then me, right? I don't know how I steered around. I literally froze. Like, what is there? There's a clown in front of me standing in the middle of the road. I've said the middle of the road a few times.
Survival instincts kicked in.
Kicked in, man. Something steered me around it. It wasn't me. I mean, it was me, but it wasn't me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. I couldn't shake that off all the way to my house. I was like, what the hell just happened? That was so wild.
He was probably looking for that. He was probably looking to, you know, get run over, you know, like a suicide. That happened to my brother-in-law. Some dude actually jumped in front of his truck.
Oh,
that's brutal. Ran him over, killed him. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're trying to kill yourself, you got dressed like a clown to do that?
He's Halloween.
Yeah, he wants to go out with a bang, bro. That's
some weird ass shit.
Well, yeah. What was weird though, and what I'm grateful for, is that he didn't follow me, right, into the other lane. That, think about that night, you know, that kind of a night, right? What do you do? I mean, this was back when there was no cell phones, right? I mean, what do? I go back and check on this dude? No way. No, no way. So anyway, that's my scary story. Those are pretty good. Everything okay over there?
Who's next? David.
David, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is a little setup. We had a party at my house, and it was after we'd probably been here maybe like 6 months. We had a party here for somebody's birthday, and they brought all this like really country stuff. So like she was really into Yellowstone. So they brought like a cutout of Rip, a full size cutout of Rip. So like, you know, the night goes on, whatever. We have our, I want to say a couple weeks later after that, the cutout was still at our house.
Okay.
I hear a noise, whatever. I hear a noise. I go out of my bedroom and it's at the bottom of my stairs. But my mind, because I was sleeping, I thought it was a person. And that, you know, the feeling you guys all described, that like almost like you feel like you're not there. You're seeing yourself react to it. And I'm backing away and I started to yell, "I have a gun." I started to yell it, and then it clicked in my head.
That's
what was there.
That would have been great.
It clicked in my head that the freaking, I'm like, and then I stopped and I yelled, "Fucking Rip." I was so mad. And then I woke Stephanie up saying, "Fucking Rip."
It would have been great if you would have just jumped on that thing, bro. Yeah. Like just gone after it.
Well, popped off a couple shots, you know?
Yeah. I didn't have my gun.
Move, motherfucker.
So I was already, I was backing way back into my room because that's where my gun was. So I was like backing into the room yelling, "I have a gun." And then I realized what it was. I'm like, "God damn, Rip." So from then on, anytime I saw that thing, even during the day, if I looked over at my shoulder and it was there, I'm like, "Fucking Rip."
Who put it there? Who put it at the bottom of the staircase?
Oh, I don't remember. Somebody when we were, you know, moving Stephanie everything
did.
Away.
Stephanie did for sure.
Somebody moved it there. It moved like several times. One of the times I turned the corner to go to our laundry room, fucking Rip sitting there, scared the shit. I'm like, "Whoa, what, Rip? Why are you always here?" It's like ridiculous.
It would have been funny if you unloaded on it.
Oh my god! So mag jump.
Unfortunately, I share a wall that's right at the bottom of the stairs. I would have been shooting into somebody else's.
Oh no!
Condo, so that would have been bad.
That would have been really bad.
Over a cutout, a cardboard cutout.
Oh my god, that is so wild.
And it's I mean, it was 6 foot. That thing was huge. It looked like a person at the bottom of my stairs.
Rip's a big guy.
Especially because you're, you know, somewhat not awake.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm armed. Do not move.
Yeah, I started to yell, "I have a gun." Stopped myself and said, "Fucking Rip."
Stephanie for sure put it at the bottom of that stairs.
Yeah, she did.
She was laughing. She was laughing.
Yeah, she was wide awake. And then he comes to bed and she pretends like she's asleep.
Yeah, she started laughing when I yelled, "Fucking Rip." It's
shit. That was her for sure. Oh, that's good. So we featured something last time, and I want to feature it again. It's something where we share a story about one of the Badgers, right? I have a lot of great stories about Steve. I have great stories about everybody, but I'm going to share another one about Steve here.
Oh, okay.
This was the heydays of when we first started working together. So last week I shared the one where my lunchbox went 30 feet into the air. This week I'm going to share one where one time we came back from something. We were pulling some parts or doing something, and we're in our janky ass cart that we had at the time. Shitty ass cart. So we start coming around the corner. We're getting close to the door that opens up. That we're supposed to, you know, go through to go back into our little area. And Steve gets this wild idea. He's like, "You know what? I'm going to see if I can keep running. I'm going to try to jump off this cart and see if I can keep keep running at the speed of this cart." And the cart didn't go very fast, but
I'm gonna pause you real quick.
Yeah.
Can you remind everybody which Steve this was?
This was Fat Steve. This was Fat Steve. Yeah. This was 300 plus Steve. Yep. You know, Steve thought, I mean, and I can't say that he was wrong, but he thought he was an athlete, at least in bursts, right? Yep. And he was, right? We would play football. You guys witnessed it. Francis, you witnessed it where Steve's like, "I'm going to go long." And and he outran everybody for that one burst. Well, this was Steve. He's like, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to jump off this car while it's moving." I didn't believe him. So otherwise I would have slowed down. I'm like, "Nah, he's not going to do it." He did it. He jumps off. I think it was 3 feet, 3 feet on the ground, and then it was a roll. It was a roll onto the left shoulder.
Yep.
And then up, and then up, and then kept running a little bit. And I don't know what you said, but it was like, see, told you or something. It would have been. I was like, what is your problem, dude?
Way too much. Man, we fucked around way too much.
We had fun. But the best part about that story was I was so proud of myself because that tuck and roll was clean.
Clean tuck and roll. It wasn't clean. It wasn't a tuck and roll and stay on the ground. It was a tuck and roll and back up.
Yeah, immediately. It was three steps. I was, right back up.
It was like clean.
It's like you made it look like you planned for it, right?
Yeah. Almost. My back was dirty. I had to have them, you know, dust me off.
All part of the plan.
Yeah, that was a
skip after that.
What'd you say, David?
Last week when you were going to talk about a story, you said something. I actually thought you were going to say that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then you went to the lunchbox because I do recall that vividly. It was funny.
We've got a race. We've got
raced with Francis. Do you remember that time?
Yeah.
Who was that? Any of you guys? There was somebody else.
Oh, I wasn't going to do it. I don't think I raced you.
Oh, man. We had those cloth roll-up doors, and they're kind of like...
Automatic.
Automatic. And we were doing a foot race from one to the other.
Who was it, though?
I don't remember. And when was you?
I was there. I remember
seeing... It was you, me. I think maybe it was Craig Webb. Maybe Ken Credo. I don't remember.
Okay.
So I'm like, dude, I'm gonna smoke these guys. Dude, I ran track in high school, all this stuff. So we go running. Oh man, I like 3 feet from the door. I eat it, dude. I like start losing it. I face planted on that cloth door, and if that cloth door has like a texture to it.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, I rug burned my whole forehead, dude. And for like 2 weeks I had this rug burn on my forehead. Oh, that was bad. That was so bad. It was probably a good 10 feet from the door. I was already losing it. I almost caught myself. Like, you know, your legs trying to get underneath you. Slammed right into it face first.
I'll tell you what. I would challenge any group of individuals to tell me that they had more fun than we did for those few years we were in those stock rooms. It was great.
Such good times.
It was close. I don't think I got there though because I didn't work directly with you guys, but I drove around every day with Brendan.
Yeah.
And it was just pure laughter. I don't know how I didn't have a six pack.
I don't know how we didn't get fired. Yeah. We should have gotten fired.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You should have gotten fired. You, for that, Mr.
Dry ice.
Bomb. Yeah. But real quick, that I want to backtrack. I want real quick. We can get into that because that's funny as hell too. I want everyone to understand the motion that Francis. You know, you ever seen people swim like professional? What's that one where they go like this? Is it the freestyle?
Freestyle, yeah.
Yeah, he was freestyling face forward into the bumper or whatever.
Oh, my God.
He hit it. He hit it so hard.
Dude, my whole head was all mashed up.
Did you win?
I was like, for what are you talking about? I got it now.
Yeah.
And you,
bombs, what?
So you won, right, Francis?
Oh, I won. My face suffered, but I won.
Was it by a nose hair?
No, man. I beat the shit out of everyone. Dude.
I got you.
I'll tell the dry ice story in less than a minute. We had fun with putting, you know, regular water bottles, a couple pieces of dry ice in there, water, shake it up. We toss it. Boom. Right. A little pop. Nice pop. Mm-hmm. Francis, one morning, this is 2 days before Christmas. There's hardly anybody in this place. The facility is basically locked down. The door's up to the other high bay. My guy grabs one of the Gatorade bottles that are super thick, the large one, dumps half of it with the ice, loads it up with the water. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he looks at me and he's just like twisting the cap on, right? And I'm like, oh my God. Tosses it, right? This thing lands under a forklift that we can't get to immediately, and I don't know how long it's going to be before this thing goes, right? We all just spread. Yeah. We run, right? I'm like, oh my God. I remember I just went into the high bay. I'm probably now a good 100 feet from this, maybe 150 feet more, at least away from this event. And I'm just like standing there. I don't know what to do. Awkwardly, like, oh God. I know.
You're just waiting for it, right?
Yeah. I know any second it's about to go off. Right?
Pop off, literally.
And It does. So this is my perspective. I don't know if you guys had a different story, but man, you felt the sound, right?
Yeah.
You felt the sound, the void, just the boom all the way through. And I was like, oh God. Yeah. Oh my God. And the people around me were like, what was that? Oh my God, something's going on. Because there was not a lot of people there, honestly.
Active shooter.
Yeah, but right.
The panic in other people's eyes was quite interesting. And I was just like, oh God, oh my God. I don't know nothing.
Someone's getting fired.
I know nothing.
Yeah, and then Toker comes out. Fucking. Yeah, anyways.
What
was that? Outside. I ran outside.
You went outside?
Yeah, I went outside. I heard it so loud outside.
Yeah.
And then when it banged, I came and said, what was that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, guys, did you just hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you do?
The worst part is we all had to play dumb the rest of the day.
I don't know.
So, question. Did what happened to the bottle? I mean,
incinerated.
I mean, it's gone.
It's gone. It just exploded. You didn't see anything left.
I'm telling you. The thing was a forklift, and nothing was going to happen. Those things are solid.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to hurt anyone. It was just.
Oh.
I don't know, but the forklift might have been a good thing, because then any shrapnel or anything like that, it's going to. It limits what's going to be shut out.
That was stupid. I'll give you that. That was really stupid.
I have a fun work story. Like we can get into the worst things you did at work. That's a pretty good one there. Yeah. I think this is one of mine. I just started over without really revealing a lot of this stuff, but where David currently works, I just started over there. And I was transporting one of the bigger toolboxes that we have. So it's like a mechanical toolbox. They're massive toolboxes, and I'm taking it from one site to another. It's very, 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 very far away, by the way. And I'm driving it, and I come around to this side, and I didn't strap it to the forklift, and I'm cruising along, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you guys remember, there was this big old pothole outside of where we used to work. Okay.
Wasn't it a sewer?
I found that pothole, by the way. And forklifts don't have suspension.
Yeah. Well, they also have hard tires. They're not inflated.
So when you get into one of those, it just goes bang. Right. So it did that with a very, very heavy toolbox, like massive toolbox. There's so many tools inside of this toolbox. So the toolbox goes boom, boom on top of the forks. And then like a dummy, I hit the brakes.
Oh no.
So this thing goes forward. Shoosh, boom. All those tools, dude, are there. They stayed inside the box, but it was a mess. So my dumbass is panicking. How do I get this thing back upright? This guy shows up, and I'm like, hey man, can you help me get this toolbox upright? And so he does, and it was really heavy, really hard to get upright. I lift it upright, and my dumb ass, right? This is a young employee, right? You just go, well, I guess I'll just deliver it then. And if you know anything about what we do, it's all about accountability, and you got to account for all that stuff. So I take it over to where I'm supposed to deliver it, and you're supposed to inspect it before you deliver it. They open it up. This thing's a fucking mess, bro. Tools are everywhere. I'm like, ooh, I wonder what happened. I don't know. I didn't check
when I picked it up. Wow.
I didn't check it before. Oops. Sorry. Oh my God. I thought I was going to lose my job, dude. I thought for sure, this hindsight, you just go, oops, I dropped it, and it wouldn't have been a problem, but I was so panicked. Like, oh my God. I was new on the team, so I didn't really know.
Yeah.
And everybody made a big deal out of it. We used to work with this guy named Kyle, and he was like, oh my God, who did that? It was such, I was like, quiet. And then I got lucky. I got really lucky. The next day, something else happened. It was an HR thing. This guy came in, and he kind of did something to a girl inside the tool crib. A manager did. And it took all the heat off of that tool box.
Oh yeah.
I got so lucky. Anyway, that's my fun story. I was like so freaked out.
Innocent mistake too, right? I mean,
yeah, he could have said like, right. I hit a pothole. Yeah. No problem.
He could have told the truth.
100%. It's so dumb. I should have called my coworker right away and said, hey man, I just ran into a pothole. This whole toolbox fell over. Come help me out. But like, yeah. you're a young employee. I mean, I think I was there maybe 3 years. I was brand new on the job. You know, you just panic. You don't make the right choices. And I learned from that though. I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Were you driving forward or backwards?
I was driving forward.
Forward.
I was driving
illegal.
Forward. It's illegal, but it was better. It was just, you more had more visibility. It's really,
and you're driving from that far away.
It's like 3 miles.
No way you're driving backwards. They didn't, that seat didn't pivot. You'd be like, it would suck.
3 miles. Yeah. You got a crook in your neck by the time you get there.
Anyway. It's gotta be where you can see it. You know what I mean? If you could see the road that you're driving on, then
my whole thing is, why didn't you use the trailer?
Well, yeah, good point. I don't think we had it at the time, back then. That was way back. Well, maybe we did. I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing, man. I was brand new. I was like two, I think I was like a week on the job or something like that.
Oh my God.
I'm like, yeah, I can do this. And I worked second shift, so it was dark, so I didn't see that pothole.
Mm-hmm.
Just mm-hmm. boom.
I've seen that. There's a couple of places that had some issues there. When they had train tracks, that was bad for forklifts.
Yeah, it was.
One of the guys went over that and,
yeah,
hit it and it knocked, the fork went off. The fork.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then then you just drive by and I just see this guy trying to put it back on.
Those are good days.
You need some help, dude? Trying to get a fork back on the forklift.
God, there's so many work stories, but I don't want to get fired.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
There's we have a ton of
so them. Many stupid freaking stories.
Yeah, it's fun because you go, man, it was so cool back then. You know, you just had such less to worry about. You know, you just were having a good time. Is the more you climb that ladder, the less kind of less fun it gets, really. And in a lot of ways, you start get spread out. I mean, all of us are in a different place.
Totally agree. You
know? Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. I know
there was by those train tracks, or actually, really by the there's that station over there that they have. There's that there was a big old dip. It was, do you know what I'm talking about? There was like a manhole cover there.
No, it's a manhole. It is a manhole cover, and but then there's a dip that goes into
it. And so somebody else was driving, but we knew about it.
Huh? By the propane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
My partner was taken off, dude, as fast as those stupid things can go. And they have a governor on there, right? So they can't go that fast.
Right.
We hit that thing so perfect. And like, if you get up and then kind of go down, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever jumped a bike?
Yeah.
Right? You kind of just give that.
Yeah, jump. That little bit. You get an inch off the ground, but it feels like more.
Right? So we kind of get up, and, we go down, and we catch that rebound, and we go, I mean, like, we get air. And it was, boom! And you can hear the suspension just cry, dude. Cry. Like, what the fuck? And then after that, it always squealed, you know? Wee, wee, wee. So we're like, we vowed, like, hey, dude, we can't tell anybody. It just happens. It needs oil or something.
You just did. That's funny.
Okay, I can tell this one's because this guy doesn't work. He's retired now. But we used to be in the shipping department. We had these huge boxes, right? They're huge. They're probably like 8 feet long by like 2 or 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
They're long. You can fit a person inside of them. And there was this grouchy old man that we used to work with. The grouchiest old man.
Oh, we all knew.
Dwayne.
Yeah, say
Dwayne. Grouchy. Yeah.
It's just so grouchy. But I mean, he's like, you know, he'd mess around with you, but he's just so grouchy.
Ugh.
And we would mess with him a little bit. And one time that box was standing up. So like you could actually fit a person into the box.
You're talking about the knife? Yeah.
I remember that.
You could fit a person into the box, you know? And our coworker Craig gets in the box to kind of scare him, you know, like, hey, I'm in the box and it's standing straight up. And Dwayne picks up this knife that we would use to cut these like boxes open and stabbed the box.
Stabbed it. He didn't know he was in there.
He was just like, don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
Stabs the box.
The knife. All of us were like, oh my God.
Oh, shit. Oh my God.
Craig was in there and the knife.
I caught his shirt.
It just was like, whoa. It was right now. It was like, they missed him by like 3 inches.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's so crazy.
He getting fucking killed over a prank.
He was the grouchiest old guy. I mean, and so Francis grouchy. Does not, we all know that. Super grouchy, gruff dude, but he was also like uber competitive. Right? And one time, I I don't remember if it was me or somebody. We just challenged each other, like, how long can you hold your arms in the air?
Yeah, I remember that. It was because of my yoga shit.
Yeah. Okay. That? Is that it what it was?
My yoga stuff.
The yeah. tree pose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the stupidest thing, this guy's like 70 years old, man. And Francis is like, all right, let's go. And I don't recall how many jumped into the start, but I just know it came down to Francis and Dwayne. And they got their arms in the air for like 6 minutes plus. They're both numb. And this guy's still going. I'm not going to give up. He just wouldn't give up, man. And it was funny.
That so, dude. Yeah. So I got a story. This is the tops. So this guy, we used to have balls. We would make balls out of the packaging material. Yep. Remember that? Uh-huh. Yeah. And they would be basketballs yeah. sometimes. And sometimes they'd be footballs or soccer balls or whatever. Right. So we had these and they were like really like tight. Yeah. They were condensed.
Yeah.
Like, remember they had weight to it. Yeah, right. So he grabs one, right? And he was Dwayne had he played with us on some of the shit. So he grabbed it and he was like, "Hey man, I bet you I could hit you more times than you can hit me." And I was like, "Nah, dude, I don't think so." He's like, "All right." So there was this, you know, in concrete, they have those stress lines, right? So there's just stress, there's this line. He's like, "All right, you take 10 paces that way, I'll take 10 paces the other way."
Oh my god, I'm crying.
And then we had three balls and he's like, "You get three chances to hit me."
And you can't move.
And you can't move. And yeah. and I'll and I have three chances to hit you. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. So we do it, right? We're like, all right, cool. This is let's go. And then he had me go first. And I go, boom. And it's harder than you think, believe it or not. Anyways, so the first one I miss. The second one I get like his legs. But the third one I have him dialed in, dude. I hit him right on like the head and neck, right? Boom. And he's like, and he flinches, you know. This fucking guy on this, and now it's his turn, right? So he's all pumped up, dude. Like he's going to give me real good whiff, dude. First one, second one, whiff, third one, whiff. He doesn't hit me at all. So he doubled down and he's like, let's do it again. Let's do it again. I was like, okay. But now, dude, I have it dialed in, right? Like now I know where to hit him. So now I'm hitting him. I'm hitting him in the face, basically. I think he gets me, but it was never, I got him on that one.
It's anyway. A 7-year-old man.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh shit.
I wonder if he's still alive. He worked a long time.
You remember him, David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother, when he was working there, worked with him.
He was a cool guy who was just grouchy as hell. Like he'd have to he had to judge whether he's in the grouchy mood, whether you can like talk to him or not.
He would wear those space shoes. Do you remember the space shoes?
Oh yeah. I made fun of the sound that he had. He hated me. He did. Because I was just an asshole.
Yeah, his retirement party, he pissed on my tire. Do you remember that?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Wasn't it at our friend's house? Where remember? Yeah.
Oh?
Yep.
Was that both? Oh, I do remember that.
Then. Yeah, yeah. He walked up to the back tire. And I was like, what? And I go, and there's this trail of piss.
It's because you nailed him in the face. Oh, my God.
This motherfucker, I'm pissing on his tire.
So what's great about these stories, if you're hearing us, you know, you don't know what the hell we're talking about. This is where Honey Badgers was born, really, in that environment, and with all that stuff that happened with the people like Dwayne and stuff like that. Pretty cool, man. Those were good times.
So many dumb stories. There's hundreds of stupid stories.
Well, if anything else on the
agenda for today, Jason,
I got nothing else. Something. If you guys have a story you want to share about another badger, go for it.
Yeah, I have saved it. So I want to bring something from another podcast that we used to do, Jason.
Oh, cool.
Urban Dictionary.
Oh yeah. This is great.
Do you have that?
I don't have the app. Do you have it?
No, I'm talking about the jingle.
I have it? Let me see if I can find it.
If you have it, play it. That'd be awesome.
Give me a second here. Talk about what it is. Explain what it is to everybody, and then I'll try to find it.
Okay. So I'm going at random. I'm going to look at a word on Urban Dictionary, and then everybody here just guess what you think it is.
So Urban Dictionary is like the layman's term or the no, not the layman's term. The
urban term.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's like a dictionary of these weird words that people are using for slang.
Okay. Slang. That's what I was looking for.
I don't think I have a jingle. I think we used to make up our own jingle on top of like the etiquette tips.
No, maybe. I don't remember. I thought we had an Urban Dictionary one, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Urban Dictionary.
Urban Hibbenhabby.
Okay, so what do you guys think chocolate abs means?
Mm.
On Urban Dictionary.
That's pretty good. Anybody want to go first?
I'll go.
A good shit.
A good shit. Okay. Good shit.
Chocolate. Black man's abs.
Okay, that's just okay. Plain ass shit right there.
This is on the nose.
Yeah. Chocolate abs is like fat. I'm gonna go with it. You eat a bunch of chocolate.
So fat.
You're soft. Yeah. You're
fat
soft.
Belly. Okay.
Yeah, I think Chase is on the right track with the black man's abs.
Are those like the cum gutters? Do you guys heard of cum gutters?
that little definition, like right leading to. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's what you think it is?
I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's my call.
Okay, I'm gonna go next level. I think that's what I like to do. I think it's a little game, a little poop game that you play with your partner if you're into that stuff, where you, you know, someone poops on your abs. Like, it's a thing, right? You just poop on your stomach. Everybody.
Oh my god.
I think
god.
It's a like you hover and poop.
Just poop on someone's.
This is Urban stomach. Dictionary, so I guess.
Yeah,
you gotta go. You're on the next level. Yeah, I was gonna say something with like when you look in the toilet after shitting and it's got the bubbles. Like your shit has.
Oh, your shit looks like abs.
Like abs. Okay, so what it really is, since I didn't even look at it yet, it is an Asian male with defined muscular abdominal muscles that looks like subdivided parts of a chocolate bar.
That Asian.
It has to be Asian?
So that's Asian.
It's the chocolate bar?
And then the references, awesome. The guys in the Korean pop group have sexy chocolate abs.
Is this like Wikipedia where you can alter the definition? Because that's a bad definition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boo.
So whose was the best? I think mine was.
I think the hot plate.
Yeah, the hot plate. Actually, that should be the word.
That is plate, the definition is
right. And then what Jason said is a hot plate.
Okay.
That's what a hot plate is?
Yeah, a hot plate
is shit on somebody's abs.
Just shitting on somebody. Yeah. Period.
Hot plate. A hot plate.
You got any more?
Maybe add that on here. That'd be great.
I think that actually, just so you guys know this, if you ever do this segment again, Chase is always going to destroy this one.
In terms of what? Like being accurate?
Yes. Yes. I think he'll win it every time.
So he said a black man's abs, which
that's probably, I mean, close. I don't know why it'd be Asian, but he's
black Asian.
He was definitely the closest.
Yeah, he's gonna win. I don't get
that. I mean, if you look at Francis, he's almost as dark as Chase. You know what I mean? So he's Asian.
Don't we have to bring in the milk carton segment too? Maybe
milk carton.
Yeah. You get how easy is it for you to get sunburned?
No,
he just gets dark.
That's
just
what about you?
Pretty easy.
Really?
Just the white in me.
What's for the milk carton segment, Steve?
I thought you had melanin, like just I'll automatic.
Tell you in a second.
Okay.
No.
Yeah,
that's what makes you. I get burnt, man.
Because that's what keeps you from getting burnt is that melanin.
I get burnt.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
What is it, Steve? Go ahead.
Oh, some black do crack.
We were talking about like things from the past or that were forgotten, and we had like we were going to call it a milk carton segment.
I must have been in the whiskey.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
Maybe next time.
We did talk about that. Doing something like that. Yeah.
Well, I used to do.
That makes you feel like, oh, man, stuff that you remember as a kid that are no longer around.
I got one right now. We just saw. Remember the commercial for the Walkman?
Yeah. Walkman?
Yes.
Yeah, I still have mine. I kept it because I thought it would be
useful.
We're old enough to remember Walkmans. Yeah. We all had them.
Absolutely. Yep. I had a Discman, too.
Yep. Oh, that's what I have.
Discman, yeah. I used it. When I worked at Lowe's, I would use it when I was stocking shelves. I'd have my Discman in, and then I had to put another disc in. Where did I get the disc? I don't even know where I stored these discs, honestly. I don't really know.
You remember the anti-skip? That was a thing.
That was a game changer.
Yeah, still sucked, man.
Those anti-skip still suck.
So I have one for this. The visor thing for your CDs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where you get
them. Yep. I had one for sure.
The visor thing. I mean, that's something that nobody needs anymore.
Since we're on that kind of on the same topic, music stores.
Oh yeah, right.
Fun, dude. Right. I mean, I think there's a generation that just misses out on going to buy an album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
I got out of that Spotify and getting it. Perfect. Time.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You did that.
I did that with Mindy.
Target,
No, not just Target, for Anderson as well.
That's right. So, all right. So, what's your go-to? Because I got a free subscription to Sirius XM Radio. And I hate it. I fucking hate it. I got to scroll through shit. I'd rather pop on, you know, I'm sure you guys do Apple, but I do Spotify because Spotify works for what I do with music and the bands and stuff like that. Yeah. So I put Spotify on every single time, dude. I don't even bother with, I can get my little playlist. I can get my little ones that I like. I like to do the CarPlay. I want to link up to my phone. So that's my thing.
Nicer. Yeah. I got a new truck and they give you that free subscription. I just cancel it. So I'm like, I don't use it.
Yeah.
It's only good during football season. Then you can listen to all the games.
That's true. I use Sirius all the time and in the truck for radio.
For what?
For radio, just like on the way home.
What do you listen to? What's your radio?
Yeah, talk radio.
Alt Nation, you know, Alt 2K, maybe some genres of decades, stuff like that. Because I'm not generally listening to a lot of podcasts. But then I do have Spotify for the family. And I like Spotify because you can put in one song and then it'll just go. It'll just create a whole playlist based off of that, which is great. I used to have Apple Music, which is okay, but
Apple can do that too. I don't know how you do it, but like I've done it where I play some songs and then it just starts randomly picking shit. Yeah. And it's pretty good. It's pretty
fun. Pick one song and then let it play. It'll start, it'll just find the next stuff that's similar.
Yeah.
On Apple Music, you can actually download my playlist and I keep adding to it. And there's like a ton of music in here.
Oh, dope.
I like Apple Music. That's what I use.
Now that I got a MacBook, maybe I'll have to go back to Apple Music.
I like it. And then if I like a song that much, I just go get it. Yeah, and it doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah.
I can just go play
it. Not just that. Like, you can fast, like, skip as many songs as you want.
True.
That is the...
Yeah.
Plus
you can with Spotify if you pay for the subscription.
This is without,
I was gonna say prescription.
All right, so this is not, so we should probably edit that part out. I don't think anybody gives a shit about what subscription we should. Hey, what do you wipe your ass with?
I think people are interested in that stuff, man. They have their thing that they pick, you know. People,
it's dude wipes all the time.
I'd go to sleep.
This is for us anyway. Okay, question. Cottonelle wet wipes or dry toilet paper?
Wet wipes. I don't even care what brand.
Dude wipes.
Wet wipes.
Wet wipes.
Yeah. Right. Dude wipes.
Dude wipes.
Yeah. Wet wipes for sure.
Hey, real quick update on a thing we had last time Francis and I were on the podcast. We had a bet about the took an over under.
Oh yeah.
Reaping McIntyre's. Francis won, but it was by a fraction of a second.
Yes.
I think it was on 90 seconds is what we bet on, and it was like 90.6. It was literally like a fraction of a second. Mm-hmm.
So this was the national anthem for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was that long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I know everybody's been waiting to hear about that. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I've been on the edge of my seat.
Thank you for bringing that back.
Yeah.
Everybody take a breath.
So glad
it happened.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was more definitely something we should have put ahead of, like, you know, what we listen to in terms of Apple and Spotify. Yeah, for sure. I'm just kidding. Well, anything else you guys want to share? We're good. I think that's it.
Good.
Yeah. Time for some ribs. UFC 300 tonight.
That's right. That's right. I don't even know who's on the card. I haven't even looked at it.
I don't know. We got the Badger Honeys all downstairs right now. Most of them are here gathered up, ready to barbecue and hang out with us. So.
Sweet daddy cornbread. Well, let's end this thing now and... We'll get into the UFC 300.
Yep.
All right. Love you, brother.
Good seeing you.
Love you.
Love you.
Well, hang tight. We'll say a proper goodbye, but we'll say goodbye to our listeners, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Honey Badgers podcast, where we just sit around and talk about anything we want. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah, love you guys too.
Take care.